Hello, I'm Richard Alsabag. This is number 0225, the Staff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Staff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0225. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, tech expert Mike Salvaggio is back on the program to talk about Amazon.com's idea to deliver packages by drones.
Sounds like it's a pretty innovative way and probably the next step of evolution on the internet with online sales. But at the same time, you know, it represents some privacy concerns. It represents some safety concerns. It's unregulated with drones flying through the air. The FAA is starting to get into it right now. So it's uncharted waters, I think, for a lot of these topics.
Relationship coach Frank Kermit is also back on the program, this time to talk about holiday relationships.
There's people who you date casually and there's people you're going to get more serious with. And introducing your partner to your family over the holidays is definitely a sign that you are promoting them up the hierarchy. It means they're getting more of your commitment, more of your attention, and you might even be thinking about something serious in the future. And this is where a lot of people make huge mistakes when they don't consider the message that they're sending by the way they celebrate the holidays with somebody new that they're dating.
And Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby, shares a slice of the Big Apple from his yellow mobile conveyance lounge. He has an opinion on everything, including the lawyers involved in the recent Brooklyn train crash.
I was under the impression that the ambulance drivers and the firemen had a tough time getting to the wreck because they had to wade through the attorneys. You can believe it, that every lawyer that has that kind of an idea is rushing to get involved on this. Oh boy, whoopee, we're going to be able to sue New York City. In addition to that, they say there were 200 people on the train. That means there'll probably be 400 lawsuits. What is a tragedy and something terrible, people died and injured. As usual, you got an awful lot of people going to try to make a buck out of it.
Plus, we have lots and lots and lots of stuff and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0225, was Richard Alsabag, who is a technical engineer at Global Montreal, the other place that I work. Thank you very much, Richard, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a program that's also heard via Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Authorities in South Carolina say they arrested a 20-year-old man accused of assaulting his father during an argument about macaroni and cheese. The Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office said Brian Rossi, age 54, told deputies the incident began Sunday when he was trying to make some macaroni and cheese for dinner, and he discovered that there was only pasta and no more cheese packets left in the package. The sheriff's office report said Rossi told his son, Alex, age 20, to stop using all the cheese packets, and the two men then engaged in an argument. Alex allegedly ran after his father during the argument and began to punch him in the face and head, according to what deputies wrote. The son eventually took Brian to the ground and continued to hit him. Deputies said Brian had a fresh laceration beneath his left eye with bruising and swelling when they arrived at the home, and Alex confirmed he and his father were arguing over macaroni and cheese. Alex told deputies he did punch Brian in the face, but that Brian also punched him in the face. Alex Rossi, who had no visible injuries, was arrested and charged with misdemeanor assault and battery. He was jailed in lieu of $1,097 in bond. Well, let's see what happens if he uses someone's cheese packet in jail. Yeah, I'm sure the outcome will be slightly different. Okay, when a fire consumed the LeBeau Plantation House in Old Araby, a neighborhood on the edge of New Orleans, investigators quickly proclaimed arson. The house had been abandoned for 60 years, but the current owners were in the process of trying to restore it. Seven men, ages between 17 and 31, had broken into the house to smoke marijuana and drink alcohol, says Colonel John Doran of the St. Bernard Parish Sheriff's Office. We all heard of the ghost stories while growing up, says Sheriff Jimmy Pullman. spirits of long-dead slaves. That led to the men looking for ghosts, trying to summon spirits, beating on the floors, Doran said. When that didn't work, one of the seven, Dustin Davenport, age 31, decided to burn the place down. The seven have been charged with burglary and arson. You know, as usual, the only spirits present in a story like this are of the bottled kind. Sometimes an owner's manual is not enough. Oregon State Police say that's what a 58-year-old man learned when he tried to drive a 50-ton battle tank up a steep grade near the coastal town of Gold Beach. The 1969 Chieftain had been purchased by a local resident, but a truck driver transporting the tank wasn't able to climb the grade, so he unloaded it at a turnout along U.S. Highway 101. The owner's caretaker, Jeffrey Glossop of Pistol River, decided that he could get the tank up the hill. Yes, best laid plans of mice and men. State Police Lieutenant Greg Hastings notes that Glossop had the owner's manual, but Hastings says the tank slipped out of gear and rolled back down across the busy highway, crashing through a guardrail. Glossop gave it another try, and the tank rolled backward again through another guardrail and down an embankment. Glossop was cited for reckless driving and first-degree criminal mischief. Hastings said the tank, by the way, is fine. Well, it's a tank. Goes without saying. It's going to be fine. Anyway, how do you turn your pet into a service animal? Pay $130 online, get a certificate and a vest, and you're in business. And in any business in America, because the law requires business owners to admit any animal presented as a service animal. They're not even allowed to request evidence of the creature's training or its owner's need. Kent Snyder says nearly a third of pet owners to whom he rents apartments claim their cats, birds, ferrets, and whatever else they have are service animals, which means they can't be charged pet fees or excluded from no-pet apartments. I have to take people at their word, Snyder says. Apartment owners can demand doctor's notes, he says, but those are also available online. I wonder. When you buy the note, does the disability come with it? And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, baby Jesus is missing again. Police in Quincy, Massachusetts say the baby Jesus has been stolen from a City Hall nativity scene for the second year in a row. Figurines of Mary, Joseph, and a lamb were also taken. The theft was first reported by a street sweeper. Police Captain John Dugan says a scrape in the street suggests the figurines were dragged to a waiting vehicle. A spokesman for the mayor says the manger figures were donated by the city's Roman Catholic parishes years ago. So let me see. They got Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and a lamb. Well, I guess the probable suspect is a vegan atheist. There you go. Case solved. Anyway, let's get to our first guest, shall we? Amazon.com recently announced on 60 Minutes its new ambitious plan to get products to its customers much faster by using octocopters or drones. Amazon's new drones will deliver packages through the air. On the line with us right now is technology expert Mike Salvaggio, who is co-founder of SEO Brand, to talk about drone delivery. He joins us via Skype-to-Skype communications from New Jersey. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Fine. Nice to have you back on the program with us once again.
Love to be back.
So this whole idea of drones, is this a great idea, a scary prospect? How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, at one point when I first heard about it, I thought it was pretty innovative of Mr. Bezos to come out with something like this, to at least start approaching the subject, because drones have been a part of our lives through warfare for quite some time. But it really wasn't the first person to bring it up. I saw a report a few months ago about Domino's Pizza testing drone delivery of pizzas. So if you just do a Google search, you'll find that news clip where you just see pizzas pretty much being lowered from the sky onto these drones, which you think it sounds like it's a pretty innovative way and probably the next step of evolution on the internet with online sales. But at the same time, You know, it represents some privacy concerns. It represents some safety concerns. It's unregulated with drones flying through the air. You know, the FAA is starting to get into it right now. So it's uncharted waters, I think, for a lot of these topics.
For me, the biggest concern is not the fact that they will be delivering packages via drones. It's that if it becomes so commonplace that we see drones in the air all the time, We're not keeping our vigilance, I think, for people who might be using drones for bad purposes, if they become so commonplace.
Oh, I would agree with that. And if you can see some of the drones that are available right now, I mean, even with a low amount of money, you can go in and buy a drone. You don't really need any type of license where the drone could have an infrared camera. It could have a high zoom camera that can beam back the feed directly to a smartphone or to a web-based app. And yeah, there's some serious privacy concerns there with these drones kind of flying around with cameras and all types of surveillance equipment strapped to them. So that's an excellent point.
Okay, so having said that, even though this is still an idea, is this a situation where the genie can't be put back in the bottle? In other words, is this something that's definitely coming our way and it's something we're all going to live with, whether it's Amazon or somebody else?
I think that's exactly where it's going. It's just a matter of time before this technology is used inside of e-commerce. It just looks like Jeff is really getting to be the forefront that's out there, because Amazon has just changed the game with the way we purchase products. I mean, there's no question about it. It is one of the best companies, and the man is certainly brilliant and has a wonderful team behind him. So there was talk about maybe Amazon getting into the logistical business, maybe taking UPS or FedEx over just to be able to cut out the delivery middleman. But now this seems like they're not even interested in any types of ground logistical companies if they're going to be able to use this Amazon Air program as the next step. So I think it's coming. Yeah.
Even though it might be a nightmare for some people, what might be a nightmare for Jeff Bezos is people like Sammy Kamkar. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a known hacker who has come out with a drone hacking drone. In other words, someone taking over an existing drone.
Well, I can tell you then, you know, just hearing something like that is very scary. I mean, there's hackers now, and we may have discussed this last time we had our discussion, but I mean, you could get a hacker that could hack into medical equipment and change life supporting equipment by just getting into the network. So I mean, I certainly believe it that if somebody can hack into a drone or hack a drone that hacks other drones, that is certainly possible, and that represents a serious safety concern.
Okay, so even though we're talking about this and it seems to be a wave of the future and things to come, admit it, would you like to have your own drone, and if so, why?
Well, I'll tell you, if I could press a button on my smartphone and have a pizza delivered to me, I think I would enjoy that. And for me to have my own drone, well, I don't think there would be anything wrong with my son maybe playing soccer down the street and I can't really see him, and I shoot one of those puppies in the air and just monitor what he's doing.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I'd like to have one too for photography purposes, and no, not to get pictures of personal things going on or in people's windows, but just aerial photography is something that's always fascinated me. And every time I see one of those, it's like, I got to get me one.
You know, and I've seen a lot of those aerial photo shots, and you always wonder how they get those shots. But I mean, if you could do a couple of Google searches right now, or even on YouTube, and type in drone aerial footage, and there's all kinds of different footage that's out there right now, and stuff that you would never be able to see even from a plane or a helicopter. So I can see where the interest would be there.
Have you seen the latest James Bond movie, Skyfall?
Absolutely.
You know the opening scene, the train chase at the beginning of the movie where Bond is shot? No spoiler alert there.
yeah, absolutely. I just watched it recently too.
That's one of the first major motion pictures to shoot an entire aerial scene with a drone.
Not surprising too, because the whole way they did that was pretty phenomenal. Wow.
So it's amazing what they can do. So they definitely are the wave of the future. Do you think there are some people or some companies that shouldn't be looking at this technology?
I mean, yeah, I think there are. I mean, you just have to wonder how involved government is going to be with this type of technology, right? I mean, all the stuff that's really come out over the NSA for the last few months, you know, the whole Snowden leak and everything. I mean, you can really see how people would have a distrust for the government flying drones around. You know, I mean, regardless of what they say it's for, and I'm not saying this is a good or a bad thing, but it could definitely promote some mistrust that's out there, and not just the government, but you know, there's a lot of companies that I think that I'd probably not like to name right now, but won't want them in the hands of a drone that's either looking at, you know, at our work, at our homes, or our personal life. There's just an endless stream of privacy violations that we can come up with.
See, I guess I probably live in a more Pollyannish world. I have less of a problem with the government having drones than private corporations having drones, because I just don't see them following what very few regulations are now out there, and I don't think there are enough regulations for the future.
No, there's not. And if some of the light research that I've done, the FAA doesn't really even know how to handle this. So, I mean, I see your point, but at least with the government, there's some sort of level of trust as to at least the regulations will be followed in terms of not having these drones crash into each other or, for many reasons, right? I mean, but, you know, at the same time, having a private corporation, unregulated, yeah, that could be as equally as scary.
I like the drones they use at airports, though, to scare away birds. That's rather fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, there's good use for drones, right? So, I mean, even like you just said, just scaring away drones, aerial photography, pizza delivery. I mean, there's so many great things that we can come with. I mean, just going into areas, right, where a human can't really go into, or even like a danger zone area where you could see law enforcement using it in hostage situations. You see the military using them, to scout enemies around, in previous spots where they can't get visual angles. I mean, there's unlimited amounts as to where this technology has been revolutionary and will continue to be. But at the same time, there's always that trade-off. How much of my privacy do I want to give up? And it's every time there's a new piece of technology, we're going to have this same debate.
Are we living in a world where we're moving so fast that we need to click on our mouses and our mice rather, and buy something on Amazon and expect it at our door in 30 minutes?
It comes down to the same thing that I tell my kids all the time: is when they send a text message, they're the generation of instant gratification. They expect a response within seconds. As to and I think we're all becoming conditioned like that with Amazon. I mean, it's pretty revolutionary when they rolled out the Prime, where the Prime service, you buy something in a day or two, you know, you have the package sitting there at your door. You never even had to go anywhere. This is just the next step. So I would agree 100% that's the way we're going. And what's next? You know, the 3D printer? I mean, the 3D printer is starting to really gain some traction now. You press a button and it just prints the object directly in your house. There's no drone. There's no waiting. You know, boom, it's there.
Wave of the future. Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being on the program with us once again.
Likewise, Peter. Thank you.
Mike Salvaggio, co-founder of SEO Brand. You can go to my website at thestuffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0225, and you'll find links to their site.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander's show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's The Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Batteries not included, some assembly required.
And still to come in the program, we'll talk about holiday relationships. Plus, Peter Franklin the Gabby Cabby shares a slice of the Big Apple from his yellow mobile conveyance lounge. And, of course, we do indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way. Plus, more Stuff File news right here, right now on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. 5 years ago, Brittany Lamb, now 24, of New York, was driving home with four friends, all age 19, after a day at the beach. She crashed, and since Lamb had taken her hands off the wheel, which led to the crash, she was sued by one of her injured passengers. A jury threw it out, so the passenger appealed. The appeals court has upheld the verdict, saying Lamb was not responsible. Yes, the judges note, she took her hands off the wheel, but she had suffered, quote, a sudden and unforeseen emergency not of her own making. You see, passenger Brandon Berman, age 19. Well, I said they were all 19 at the time, didn't I? So no need to say his age again, but I digress. Anyway, Brandon Berman had untied her bikini top while she was driving, causing the top to fall. She instinctively grabbed for it to cover up, which resulted in the accident. One of her friends died. Yes, you guessed it, Brandon Berman. That's called karma. Anyway, as usual, they sued the wrong person. I'd let the lawyers zero in on the estate of the dead guy. That's just me. Okay, on Thanksgiving, and by that I mean U.S. Thanksgiving, an unnamed woman was driving on Interstate 15 in San Diego when her cell phone rang. According to police, the person on the other end told the woman there was a bomb in her car. She immediately pulled over and called 911, triggering a response from multiple agencies, including the bomb squad. The freeway was shut down in both directions, and dogs were brought in to check out the car. No bomb was found, and police were beginning to clear up the scene when the woman's brother, Victor Diaz, called her to apologize for the prank phone call. Diaz, who is 28 and really at that age should know better, reported to the scene and was arrested on felony charges, including making a false bomb threat. Motorists were not happy about the four-hour shutdown. I can't even think. I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening on Thanksgiving, said one affected motorist. Well, it'll make for a memorable Thanksgiving, said another. Yeah. You know, most Thanksgiving family fights are restricted to the dinner table, not the interstate. But anyway, there you go. Well, moving right along, when Franco Scaramuza witnessed two men pepper spraying a couple in a shopping center parking lot in Nashville, Tennessee, back in September, he bravely responded in the only way he knew. Franco, who teaches the art of fencing, drew his fencing sword and challenged the men. With his epi held high and aimed, and chanting fencing-type yells, he charged at the men. As he said later, they completely panicked and dropped everything and really took off. Michael Butt and Zachary Johnson were arrested nearby and charged with robbery. Now, seriously, don't you wish you could be there just to have witnessed this event? That probably looked like fun. Anyway, John and Nicole Grant, a truck-driving couple who support rival football teams, went to Chris New's Mayville, Wisconsin bar to watch their teams play each other. As they watched, New said, they talked about their bet. The winner would get to zap the other with John's stun gun. Well, John's Chicago Bears beat Nicole's Green Bay Packers, and New said half of his customers followed the couple outside. She put her hands up on the wall, and he tasered her butt twice. New said she was laughing and wanted the shocking recorded on video. But the couple then fought, and Nicole, who is 32 years old, and again, like some previous people I talk about on this program, should know better, called the police and tried to get John, age 42, duh, he should know better too, charged with domestic battery. He avoided the charge after she showed authorities her cell phone video. Yeah, it didn't save him completely, though. Possession of a stun gun is illegal in Wisconsin, and he was charged with felony possession. I guess it's not domestic battery when you voluntarily ask to be hooked up to a battery. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, a Saskatchewan man barricaded himself in his home with a gun when his calls to 911 demanding booze, smokes, and snacks were ignored. At around 3 a.m. on Thursday, a North Battleford man called 911 saying he wanted cops to bring him, quote, a pop and some smokes. When that didn't work, he allegedly called again, this time demanding police to bring him another Mickey of vodka. Yes, the word another is in there. When his request was denied a second time, the man told the 911 operator that he had a gun and would hurt himself or others. When officers arrived, he refused orders to exit his home, but then fell asleep when members did not bring him the snacks he wanted. Cops entered his home, arrested the man, and seized a .22 caliber rifle and ammunition. The 41-year-old man was charged with careless use of a firearm, unsafe storage of a firearm, unauthorized possession of a firearm, and possession of a weapon for a dangerous purpose. Well, looks like he won't be ordering out for some time to come. Yes. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the program, shall we? Well, here we are in the month of December, and relationships can be a minefield this time of the year. Joining us to talk about it is relationship coach Frank Kermit, who is a best-selling author, educator, and relationship columnist. He also has a website called friendstoloversformula.com. Frank is back once again via Skype to Skype communications. Hi, Frank.
Always a pleasure to return, Peter. Always.
Thank you very much for being here. Let's talk about the holidays since we are in that month of December. And some people might be getting into new relationships or just recently got into a new relationship. So now there's the tricky minefield of how to celebrate the holidays, where to celebrate the holidays. That can be very telling in a relationship, can't it?
It's always a sign as to whether or not you're going to promote someone up the hierarchy of dating. And by hierarchy of dating, I'm talking about there's people who you date casually and there's people you're going to get more serious with. And introducing your partner to your family over the holidays is definitely a sign that you are promoting them up the hierarchy. It means they're getting more of your commitment, more of your attention, and you might even be thinking about something serious in the future. And this is where a lot of people make huge mistakes when they don't consider the message that they're sending by the way they celebrate the holidays with somebody new that they're dating.
Now, when we're talking about somebody new that you're dating, what is the cutoff point? By that I mean, you know, the holidays, Christmas parties, for instance, office Christmas parties can start as early as the beginning of December. Of course, family get-togethers take place right through to New Year's. So if you start dating someone, say, the last weekend of November or the first weekend of December, but you don't take them to an office party or you don't take them to a family function, is that considered a bad sign or not a bad sign?
It just means that your relationship hasn't reached that point. It's not a good sign or a bad sign. It's about the reality of accepting the situation that you've only just been dating 2 or 3 weeks, and when you are going to be invited to those office parties, family dinners, and so on, you better be in a serious relationship that is aiming towards having a future together. If the two of you cannot sit down and say, well, no, we are publicly going to declare that we are a couple, we are publicly going to present ourselves to families and friends that we are a couple and we're aiming to build something in the future. If you're not at that point, you do not attend Christmas parties. You do not attend family dinners. It's inappropriate.
Okay, so agreeing on that, what about the situation where one party either jumps in with both feet and feels more into a relationship than the other? In other words, what if I invite you to my office Christmas party, but you don't invite me to yours?
No, you got a problem. You got a problem. Look, if only one person is really into the relationship, you don't have a relationship. You have a delusion. Sorry, but that's what it is. If you are inviting your partner to every single party you're having, but your partner is not inviting you, okay, you got a problem. There's definitely a miscommunication going on here. There's a discrepancy. It is very possible that the person who is accepting these invitations isn't aware that by accepting these invitations, you're sending out a signal that you are indicating that you're much more serious than you really are.
Okay.
I often deal with this, and believe it or not, it's usually the guys who really don't get that. Oh, by meeting your family, that's actually sending a message. I didn't know that. Whereas women tend to be very mindful of the fact that, well, if I'm going to introduce him to my friends, it's because I'm really thinking that this is a guy that I might want to, spend more time with in the future and get more serious.
Well, what about casual situations? And by that I mean, there's a certain formality of meeting one's parents or meeting one's coworkers at an official office party. But there are also, through the course of December, holiday get-togethers with just friends. When do you bring, a relationship into that situation? And what does that say?
Anytime you bring somebody into a situation, look, you can bring somebody along as just a friend, as long as you keep in mind that people are generally not that stupid. Okay, you bring somebody along as just a friend, they're still going to ask, oh, are the two of you dating? Are the two of you together? And it happens to so many couples. They decide, let's just go ahead and attend just as friends. Somebody says, oh, are the two of you a couple? And rather than explain, well, we've sort of seen each other, but we haven't slept together yet. And they don't want to get into these kind of details. They'll simply say, yeah, I guess, because they feel the pressure and they don't know how else to answer. And they don't want to say, well, we're just friends, because when you bring somebody out to a party and you say, this is not my date, we're just friends, then you're inviting every other person in the room to make a pass at your friend. Hmm. And that doesn't work either. Look, the rule is, if you're not serious, you don't mix these social circles yet. When you're serious, you bring that person along and you present that person as, this is my partner, this is the person that I'm dating. And if maybe you may be in a situation where the person is your partner, but you're still open to dating other people. Everybody's got different rules. But generally speaking, unless you are serious with that person, you don't invite them out to those parties, but you do set some one-on-one time alone with that partner.
Now, you mentioned earlier the word delusional, somebody being delusional in the idea that they're more to the person than they really are. Let's flip that on the other side. Could the other party be too codependent?
Oh, absolutely. The idea is that they really they want to have someone there so that they don't end up alone. Sometimes someone will place a call to an ex and say, look, I know we broke up a little while ago, but there's this party coming up and I don't want to be alone. And it would really help me out if you showed up. And I'm not expecting anything afterwards. It's just I could really use your help in being there and your support. And because they're not ready to be independent, they're not ready to strike it out on their own. And the general rule that I coach and that I teach is that when you put yourself in that position, you don't allow yourself to go through some of the unpleasantness of the situation that forces you to move on.
Now, when you say forces you to move on, which party are you talking about in that situation? The person who wants the person with them, or the other person who is going to go with the one who doesn't want to be alone?
It's the one who doesn't want to be alone.
The one who doesn't want to be alone. Okay.
Sometimes you need to go through those periods of loneliness because it forces you, it pushes you to the point where you're going to make whatever changes in your life you have to make to either meet somebody new or maybe change a behavior pattern of your own that's been turning people off from wanting to be with you.
Relationships, generally speaking, can be a minefield no matter how serious the relationship is leading to the holidays, because depending upon what level your relationship is at, there's always the idea of taking it to the next level because of the holidays, correct?
That's right. The idea is you're not sure about whether or not you want to take it to the next level. And holidays are really a bad time for people because when you are without a relationship during the holidays, it is a signal that you're not necessarily going to have a good holiday time if you were really hoping to be in a relationship. It's a time when people get very lonely. It's a time when people take stock of their life and where, you know, what they've accomplished in the past year. So when you're dealing with relationships of the holidays, I know some people who simply say, I'm not going to start a relationship just before the holidays because it's too complicated. And it's only complicated because they don't know how to manage those emotions.
It's an interesting point you just bring up, and because I was about to ask, should your radar go off if somebody comes to you and seems to be interested in starting a relationship around the holidays? Because there is the possibility that, A, either they do like you and want to be in a relationship with you, or B, they just want a warm body over the holidays.
My attitude is it doesn't matter if they are genuinely interested or if they're just giving you a chance because they don't want to be alone. It really doesn't matter. The bottom line is get the audition. Doesn't matter how you, it doesn't matter what you do, you just get the audition.
Get the audition. I like that. On that note, I wish you the best for holidays, Frank. People can find more information at your website, which is friendstoloversformula.com. Thank you very much for being on the program with us once again.
Thank you, Peter. All the best.
Relationship coach, Frank Kermit. You can check out his website at friendstoloversformula.com, and you can go to my website at thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0225, and you'll find the link to his site. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. This week, we look at a serious problem putting the safety of many school children at risk. The problem? State laws that provide too much secrecy about convicted sexual offenders who are enrolled in schools across the country. Last month, a lawsuit in the state of Washington brought this problem to light in a very disturbing way. The family of a young girl had sued the Seattle School District after she was sexually assaulted in a restroom by an 18-year-old male student. The young man had already been classified by the state as a Level 2 sex offender, which means that experts believe there was a risk he would be a repeat offender. Despite that, state law prohibited school officials from telling parents that their children were attending school with a registered sex offender. Let's be fair, schools have a duty to protect our children from known predators. The problem is that under the current system, school officials can actually be sued by the sex offenders if they do just that. Find out more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
Latitude, 47 degrees, 14 minutes north. Longitude, 84 degrees, 39 minutes west. Location, Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Now, the Stuff File presents the Gabby Cabby, direct from his yellow mobile conveyance lounge in the city that never sleeps, New York. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby, is with us once again from New York City. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever. Just good.
Nice to have you on the program with us once again. It's been quite a holiday season in the New York area, ending up with a tragic train crash that took place in Brooklyn. I understand there are a lot of lawsuits coming out of this.
Yeah, well, you know, I was under the impression, I mean, I can't back this up with any kind of facts, but I was under the impression that the ambulance drivers and the firemen had a tough time getting to the wreck because they had to wade through the attorneys. You can believe it, that every lawyer that has that kind of an idea is rushing to get involved on this. Oh, boy, whoopee, we're going to be able to sue New York City. In addition to that, they say there were 200 people on the train. That means there'll probably be 400 lawsuits. So in any event, what is, you're right, a tragedy and something terrible, people died and injured. As usual, you got an awful lot of people going to try to make a buck out of it. And the Daily News, by the way, which is really just a crappy newspaper that I wouldn't line my birdcage with, has really tried and convicted the engineer on the front pages. I mean, they've just all but said he's a murderer, a criminal, and a killer, and yet at the same time, the National Transportation Safety Board has not released any kind of a report. Today, just to make things even worse, they have a picture of him on the front page of the Daily News, which shows him sleeping. Well, he's sleeping on a hospital gurney. I mean, that wasn't a picture, as they imply, of him sleeping at the controls. So don't get me wrong. you know, I'm no fan of his, but I think, gee, don't convict somebody until we know what's going on.
Now, you say that there's a bit of a feeding frenzy with lawsuits. Is it more of a feeding frenzy than usual, or just the usual post large accident feeding frenzy? And the reason why I ask that is I understand there's a situation where people are talking about a previous freight accident on the same rail line, and that might be bringing people out saying, see, there's a problem.
Well, no, I think what's happening is that in any kind of a lawsuit, it's always hard to, first of all, establish that something happened. In other words, the guy says he slipped and fell on the sidewalk. Well, did he really? Did anybody see him do that? You know, that's a whole discussion. Here it's kind of cut and dried. You were sitting on the train, you got injured, so all that you have to really find out is, you know, who are you going to sue? And in this case, it's the best place in the world, New York City, because each year, New York City is sued by thousands of tourists that come here and slip, and citizens, slip and fall, it's called. So, it's an easy mark, I think.
Well, let's talk about another holiday tradition, probably one a little more happier than what we've just been discussing. You must be excited about all the Christmas decorations.
Not particularly. I'm a little bit of a grouch about that. Maybe at this point I should be saying humbug. You know, when I was a kid many years ago, you didn't put up your Christmas decorations until at least, you know, after Thanksgiving. This year, these decorations have been up already for 1, 2, and 3 weeks. So that's number one. Number two, they're really kind of gaudy and showy. And I mean, it isn't the Bing Crosby, Perry Como warmth of Christmas type of decorations. You know, they say money can't buy happiness, but it sure can buy Christmas decorations. So the city has them all over the place. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting old and grouchy, or maybe I always was old and grouchy, but I don't know. It doesn't look all warm and toasty and cuddly and nice.
So you want to tone it down is what you're saying?
Bah, humbug. Get rid of them all.
All, even the Rockefeller tree?
Oh, absolutely, the tree. Oh, did you just hit a sore spot with me? So here's somebody up in Connecticut who has this tree, took, what, like 150 years to grow. His grandchildren played under it. His children played under it. His nieces and nephews played under it, generation after generation. God made this beautiful tree. Now he comes along, I'm talking about the owner, cuts the tree down. Now it's going to go to Rockefeller Center. It's there already, of course. And in another couple of weeks, they're going to chop it up into mulch. No, no. If I had such a gorgeous, beautiful tree growing in my backyard, there is no way I would chop it down and sell it for the almighty dollar.
Okay, well, let's move on to a dissection of another kind. I understand there's a cockroach autopsy that's taking place.
See, now this proves once and for all that there is a difference among people. See, it's not politically correct. You know, we're all one happy family. That's a bunch of baloney, and how it turns out, and we can thank the cockroaches for that. Well, they just did some kind of study, and they found out that if you were to do an autopsy of a cockroach, I don't know why you would want to do an autopsy of a cockroach, you would be able, this is, you know, medical people, would be able, and the health department, would be able to tell you where the cockroach came from. In other words, I guess cockroaches in Spanish Harlem must eat a roast con pollo. In the Jewish neighborhood, they must eat gefilte fish. In the black neighborhood, I guess they would be eating grits, you know. So that's how they're able to signify. Now, you realize once they've made these separations as to different types of cockroaches, they, too, will all start to hate each other based on race, religion, and appetite.
Wow. Okay. I want to go back to another story from a couple of weeks ago. I understand there was a New York police officer who is suing an 85-year-old man.
Yeah. He's suing the guy because he claims he beat him up. You know, when I get to be 85, I hope I can beat up a New York City policeman. Now, it's a ridiculous story. The man had complained about this particular cop because he was blocking a bike path or something or other. And the cop is now he had a confrontation there, and they may have been a little pushing and shoving. I don't know exactly. But now he's come forward, the cop is, and the cop is now suing the 85-year-old man for beating him up. I think it's more retaliation than reality because, you can be in the greatest health in the world. 85-year-old people generally, although as I say, I hope I can one day. Listen, when I'm 85, I hope I can beat you up, buddy. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. So you're not too excited about the Christmas decorations and the whole holiday season. Let me see if I can get you excited about another big event that's going to be taking place. We're getting down to the crunch time in the NFL with teams starting to spread out as to who's going to be in the playoffs. And it all leads to the Super Bowl, which is in the state next to you. How excited are you about the Super Bowl in New Jersey?
Well, okay. Let me tell you something. There's always hype. And there's always the marketing, and everybody's convinced that the most exciting thing in the world. I know an awful lot of people. I got to tell you very honestly, Peter, I've never met a regular, normal human being who's gone to the Super Bowl. It usually turns out to be fat cat broadcasters and people like that. So I guess somewhere there must be regular people going. The fact that it's in New Jersey is really making it bad. And the reason for that is New Jersey, or as we would say, Joy-Z, always feels slighted by New York anyway. So now, here they have a stadium there where a team called the New York Giants play. If that isn't enough to give you an inferiority complex. And now all these people who are coming to this game, do you think they're staying in Motel 6 in New Jersey? Absolutely not. They're all staying in the hotels in Manhattan, who, by the way, are all raising their rates. I think I have to do that. I got to find out if I can raise the rates in the taxis during that season. That might not be a bad idea. But in any event, so it's really turned into the ultimate hustle. And everybody's afraid that it's going to snow and rain and everything, which is absurd because that's what football used to be. You used to play football in the cold and the rain. Now you're playing in an indoor stadium, and since we have stupid people who build stadiums in New York, they built the Meadowlands without a roof, and as a matter of fact, they even built the Yankee Stadium without a roof. Not too clever.
Hmm. Well, speaking of inferiority complexes, I noticed you mentioned the New York Giants, but didn't mention the New York Jets.
Well, I just was going into one tirade at a time. I mean, how many tirades? As it is, my doctor says it's good therapy for me to talk to you because you let me vent.
Before I let you go, sir, I understand that you had a special celebrity sighting this week.
Oh, I got so excited when I saw him. I saw Daniel Craig. And the reason I got so excited is that, you know, ever since Dr. No, which really took me by surprise, I remember we went to the theater. I thought we were going to see a regular old movie. All of a sudden, the title starts, and I knew, whoa, this is going to be really something. And, of course, I've loved James Bond, and I've gotten used to every James Bond they've had. You know, at first I hate them, but then I get used to them. But anyway, here's James Bond standing on 42nd Street in Manhattan. Of course, he's standing outside the theater. He and his wife are in a show, which I was kind of, I thought, a little aware of. I don't know if any of the people standing next to him were his wife, but here he is, Daniel Craig, James Bond. I could not be blasé, and I was thinking, what should I say? I got to come up with a smart-aleck remark or anything. But I was just speechless looking at him. But now, in retrospect, I would have said to him, hey, can you introduce me to Judi Dench?
And there you go, Peter, right at the very end of our segment, burying the lead, something I never thought I'd see happen before. Peter Franklin says he was speechless.
Well, you stand there, James Bond. Listen, you'd have to be weird not to be speechless.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Franklin, best of the holidays to you and yours without too many decorations. Thank you once again for being on the program with us. People can go to your website and find out more information by going to Gabby.com. They can send an email to peter@gabby.com. Thanks again, Peter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Stuff File.
And we're almost at a racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. We do have an idiot of the day coming your way, but first, more Stuff File news right here, right now. Here are some of the latest additions of collateral damage. Number one, in October, a 28-year-old man reeling from a domestic argument in Port Richey, Florida, put a gun to his head and, against his girlfriend's pleas, fired. As a neighbor across the street stood on her porch, the suicide bullet left the victim's head and made 3 wounds in the neighbor's leg, sending her to the hospital. Wow. And collateral damage number 2, about a week later, on the Norwegian island of Vesterøy, a moose hunter missed his target but hit an obscured cottage in the distance, wounding a man in his 70s as he answered nature's call. He was airlifted to a hospital in Oslo. See? That's why I have a bulletproof bathroom. Meanwhile, when Caitlin Jackson, age 12, died after a years-long battle with leukemia, many of her friends came to school wearing shirts they had designed to honor her memory. The shirts were blue, which was Jackson's favorite color, and orange, the official color honoring leukemia victims, and decorated many with Caitlin's name. But when school administrators decided they wouldn't allow shirts with Caitlin's name to be worn, they failed to notify anybody. Students wearing the shirts arrived at school and were told to turn them inside out. Said Caitlin's mom, Melinda, "They hurt me to the point that I didn't think I could be hurt anymore." Lakeview administrator Amy Jones explained the decision came from the school's crisis management plan, which she said is based on a lot of research and expert opinion. Maybe it's time to get new experts. The plan bans permanent memorials based on research that indicates memorials can make grief worse, and administrators decided shirts with Caitlin's name fell into this category. "Certainly the intent of our decision was good," Jones said. Yeah, no points for that, Jones. "Probably the ramifications of our decision caused more disruption than if we let the kids wear the shirts in the first place." You figure? Yeah. I guess if you have a crisis management plan and a crisis management team, then you're always looking for a crisis. But what if you have pinheads on that team? That's what I want to know. Anyway, no one voted for anyone for mayor or city council member in Walsburg, Utah this year. No one even ran. That was because no one advertised that it was time to file, no one organized the polling, and no one noticed the town was even supposed to hold an election until it was too late. The 275-person municipality has a new recorder, and instead of overseeing the election, he overlooked it. The county clerk said the incumbents would have to be reappointed. They were previously appointed 2 years ago when Utah Elections Office Director Mark Thomas said Walsburg failed to hold an election. Boy, that seems to be a chronic problem there. You know, when you don't hold elections, no one can vote you out. Maybe that's part of their plan. I don't know. Anyway, here's a quote. "We don't know what kind of smuggling scheme is going on here." That's what the Time magazine says. "But we think they're doing it wrong." The magazine says people keep finding millions in gold bars in airliner restrooms. Officials in India say maintenance workers found 2 duffel bags with 24 gold bars weighing 53 pounds and worth $1.2 million U.S. in a lav cabinet on a plane that had arrived from Bangkok. A few weeks before, a ground crew in Bangladesh servicing an airliner that had just arrived from Dubai found 280 gold bars that had been flushed down the toilet. That haul was worth $1.9 million U.S. And that's it. 2 cases. Still, this is the best thing to happen to airline bathrooms, Time says, since the invention of the Mile High Club. Only 2 cases? You know, but if word of this gets out, passengers might start spending time panning for gold in toilets during the flight. There's a vision you don't really need to see, huh? Anyway, you know what time it is, boys and girls? Yes, it's time once again for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This stuff I'll present, the Idiot of the Day.
In November, 19-year-old Michael Brown became the most recent person with poor decision-making skills forced to report to a police station. In this case, it was in College Station, Texas, in the middle of the night, to ask that officers please remove the handcuffs he had been playing around with. Following the officer's mandatory records check, it was learned that Brown had an arrest warrant for criminal mischief, and following a mandatory search, they also found he had 2 ounces of marijuana in his pocket. Yeah. Okay. Now, why, oh why, would you waltz into a police station to get handcuffs removed when there is a warrant out for you and you've even got grass in your pocket? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0225. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0225. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. While it may be an enjoyable, pleasant experience, some side effects may occur. Listening to Peter may cause bloating, drowsiness, Tourette's, web feet, or an oily discharge.